Today's gospel comes from the first chapter of Luke. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believes that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Lord.
Good morning. Fourth Sunday of Advent, so this is my last opportunity to visit with you a bit about generosity. And as you probably recall, we have talked about generosity to God. We've talked about generosity to your family, to your church family, and today, a little bit of generosity to the world outside our church and our church family. But first, I want to share with you another little story. It seems as if there was this young new minister in a church, as yet unknown exactly where this church was, and I don't believe it was either Pastor Beth or Eric, but young minister had finished his sermon and was greeting the congregation as they left, and everyone was complimenting him on what a nice job he had done, until this one man approached him and said, "That was the most dull and boring sermon I have ever heard in my life." Young pastor was sort of taken aback, but thought, well, okay. And a short time later, he sees the same man in line again. And sort of a repeat of the same thing. You know, did you not do any preparation at all for this? This was really a very poor sermon. And even a third time he came back with sort of the same thing. So, of course, the young pastor is really kind of upset. So he approaches one of the elders of the church and says, "This man here, what can you tell me about him?" He said, "Oh, that's Charlie." He said, "Don't pay much attention to him. He suffers from a little dementia. And he only repeats what he hears other people saying." I'm sure it wasn't Pastor Beth or Eric. Well, as I was thinking about what I might say to you today, I thought of a couple of stories that I know about that were personal to me, and one of them has to do with one of my nieces. She graduated from Washington State University and went to work for Microsoft when it was just getting started, and she made a boatload of money. Retired at the age of 36. Now you might think, well, she'd probably buy herself a big house on Lake Washington and maybe a yacht or something like that and just enjoy the good life. But that's not what she did. She formed an organization called Women's Enterprises. And she and many associates that she has working with her now go into undeveloped countries in Africa and Central America. And they help women to set up little cottage-like industries where they might raise chickens and get eggs, or they might sew some clothing or do some simple little business out of their home, but they can make money at it. She loans them the money to get started, and then they repay it back to this association. And it's been hugely successful. She has been in many countries in Africa, also in Central America. And we have gone to some of their fundraisers up in Seattle. And many of these women have come over here and expressed their great appreciation to her and to this association, because they've been able to raise their lives up through the work that she is doing and she continues to do. So I'm very proud of her and very proud of what she has accomplished with this great asset that she has earned and has has used wisely. Second one I want to tell you about is a family from British Columbia. Actually, they were my hunting guides when I go moose hunting up there for years and years and years, and we became good friends. A number of years ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago, they had a tragic accident in their family. The mother was out looking for the father, who was working on a cabin on a lake near their home. And they, at that time, the four children were with her, and one of the boys, an 8-year-old boy, was carrying his 2-year-old sister on his back. It was a bright, sunny summer day, and this little boy was walking behind his mother. She heard this snap. She could tell it was a tree that had broken off, and as she turned around, the tree fell on the head of this 8-year-old boy and killed him instantly. His little sister, fortunately, was not hurt. Now, you might say, well, what's the point of that other than it's a very sad and depressing thing? Well, the interesting thing to me is when I visited with them here just recently, they keep telling me how blessed they feel they have been. They're a strong Catholic family, and they used their faith, I think, to get through that tragic event. But anyway, they told me that because they had been so blessed, they had heard about this small Indian village up in the Northwest Territories of Canada, up on the confluence of the Mackenzie and the Yukon River. 150 people live there, and they have decided to take their whole family. At this point now, they have 5 children, one of them just 3 months old, and they're going to travel all the way up to this small Indian village to basically carry the Lord's word to the people. There's a small church there. They hadn't had a priest there for a number of years, and so that's where they are currently, probably enduring hours and hours of darkness, extremely cold temperatures, but they did it because they feel that they had been so blessed. Well, as I thought about those things, those are pretty extreme examples of generosity to the outside world. And I don't necessarily expect any of you to be traveling to the Northwest Territories or anything quite that dramatic. But I do think that we are a generous group here to the outside world. Our world may be Thurston County or Lacey, but it's that world outside of the comfort of our church here. And I looked at all those Christmas gifts that were given last week, and I think about the Safi School Project, and I think about the garden that we raise and that goes out to people in the community, the food bank, the Clean Kids Project that we're undertaking. I think we're doing a good job of being generous to our outside world. But I think beyond just the generosity of time, talent, and resources, I think we need to also focus on being generous with our love and our understanding and our compassion for the outside community. I know it's easy to sometimes I get a little uneasy with people who don't think like we do, who don't behave like we do, or who have different views on things. But I think that we need to carry God's word out there by the way we behave. How do we conduct ourselves? What do we say and do? Words are easy. In fact, when Pastor Eric and I were talking about this, I say, I think about that often. I say the Pledge of Allegiance. Because sometimes we say, with liberty and justice for all. Do we really mean that? I know we say it, but sometimes I think the words are easy easy to say and sometimes hard to do. So I guess what I would leave you with is that let's try to take our love and appreciation and carry God's word through our behavior as we go out into the community, because I think that is That is what God would want us to do. I think that, I remember I talked maybe last week about where responsibility and generosity intersect. And I think we do have a responsibility to conduct our lives in a way that is a glory to God. Well, as I finish up with this, I want to say that I appreciate the fact that I've been able to share some of my thoughts and ideas with you. I feel like I have really benefited more from this than you have by a large measure, because it's caused me to do a lot of thinking about my own life and the way I conduct myself and the way I show generosity to God and to my family and to you and to the community. I hope it's made me a better person as a result of that. So I thank you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you, Pastor Eric, for allowing me to do this. And I guess I would leave you with that phrase that I've repeated many times: as we give, so shall we receive. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. I decided officially to, my dad died in 2011, so I decided officially to adopt Ken as my new dad, just so you know. So that's an official statement I'm making from here. So, you know, in the text and in this theme, as we're waiting for Jesus, and we've talked about waiting both in the sense of waiting, like waiting for a train, we're waiting for this train of Jesus to come, and waiting like a servant. The word that's come up, and especially this week, is daring. And here's a great place where I found this word, daring. And it's from South Carolina Synod for the ELCA. This is on their website. This is their, this is what they're about. This is Christ's church. There is a place for you here. We are the church that shares a living, daring confidence in God's grace. Liberated by our faith, we embrace you as a whole person, questions, complexities, and all. Join us as we do God's work in Christ's name for the life of the world. I think that's a pretty good statement. And you can go ahead and look. All you've got to do is look online, South Carolina Synod, and you can review that statement or listen to it on the recording that we have. But I just like that saying, and I like that we are the church that shares a living, daring confidence in God's grace. And so, for me, that's the theme for how to wrap everything up about generosity. You know, we've talked about God's grace and God infusing us with that grace, and that helps us to be free. And so I think the question that God's asking us, or it's really God is daring us, maybe a double dare. I dare you, God says. At Christmas time, God says, I dare you to pick up Jesus and see where that takes you. I dare you to wait for Jesus, or to wait for Jesus. I double dare you. So what's next? What are some daring ventures we could do? If you were at our council meeting on Tuesday, I listed probably 16 new things that we were going to do in 2016. But I'm not going to say any of those, because I don't know what it is for you that God is daring you to do in the freedom that God gives you with God's grace and love. I do know one thing for sure we'll be doing, and it's related to this. I'm just going to do my little mini Superman transition. But, you know, I always talk about, and the theme has been, God's work, our hands. So, you know, I always have this shirt underneath here. God's work, our hands. It's I wear it a lot because I have five of them, so it's easy to figure out what to wear. So if you wonder, man, you should really wash that shirt, Eric. Well, I have five, so, I mean, I might still need to wash it, but I have five. But it's part of the theme of the ELCA. That's the mission. That's the vision for our church, the greater church, God's work, our hands. What might we dare to do with the freedom we have in God's name for the life of the world? So one of the things is on the first or second weekend and Sunday, and on a Sunday in September, and this week it's on 9/11, which happens to be a Sunday, we're going to have God's Work Our Hand Sunday. Now, we've talked about it, but we've never done anything. But a lot of churches in the ELC, thousands of churches, do something. Some even close their doors and go do things, not have worship, but serve in the community. So we're going to do something like that. And having just done the Olympic Choral Society with Jim and Dave and Terry directing and 73 other members of our community, one of the things, the thing that we supported was Rebuilding Together in Thurston County. And if you were at the concert, you heard about that. But the idea with this community organization, it's a group of people that got together who want to make a difference in people's lives one house at a time. And the idea is you have low-income people who have houses that have needs, you know, repairs, things like that. And once they apply and they qualify, then a group of people goes in and changes the lives of that person or that family. I mean, dramatically, from struggling, you know, whatever their housing situation is, to making it a safe, wonderful place. And the example that was given a couple of times was of a person who had been in a domestic violence situation, and she had a 30-year restraining order on her spouse, who had come into her house with a sledgehammer and had destroyed the floors. Had every door was broken, every wall had a hole, all the appliances. There was nothing. It was just this house was destroyed by this guy, and she had carved out a little space in one of the rooms in the back. And that's where she lived. And eventually Rebuilding Together came in and transformed that house into a safe place. But one of the questions was, well, how long have you been, you know, living like this? And she'd been living like this for 5 years. I mean, that's still hearing that story, it's horrible. That's horrible. It's not right. And so it's just Rebuilding Together. Imagine us, however many of us feel motivated or feel the dare, take the dare of God to do that. I'm going to, you know, and I think others of you probably will as well. On 9/11, we will change the lives of maybe one person or two families of houses that day. For real. We will infuse God's grace and God's love into the community, into something beyond who we are. So for me personally, I'm going to share a personal story for me, how God is daring me to do new things. So, you know, I'm not a political guy. You know, I'm a Democrat. I vote Democrat. You know, if you're a Republican, sorry, that's just who I am. So just get used to it, and I'm used to you. But I'm not political. So, and an example of this is when I was 18, I was, you know, trying to get into the Naval Academy, and I had a nomination through my dad because he was in the military. So one of the things you do when you're going into the academies, if you have a nomination like that, you talk with a senator. So at that time, back in 82, 83, that happened to be Senator Scoop Jackson, if you remember who he was. Well, you know, I saw him on TV, and it's like I went in and I had this interview with him, a conversation while we're talking, and then he asked me, Eric, what do you think about Star Wars? Now, you know, he wasn't talking about the movie that just came out now or the first movie that I saw in 1977. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about if you remember that, about the program for missiles and how, you know, that missile defense. Well, I grew up on Comano Island. I gave a very poor answer. And I realized, I don't know a lot of things, and this whole political thing is not for me. But fast forward to now, and what is God daring me to do? Well, ever since I heard that phrase, unaccompanied child in our school district for those who are homeless, unaccompanied homeless youth. Ever since I have heard that term, I can't shake it. I cannot shake it. So that's resulted in talking with Brenda McCafferty about the number one need for homeless children, and that's housing. But the number two need is, like Ken mentioned, laundry. So that's why we're doing Clean Kids, and that's coming in January. We'll start breaking ground then. So that's a great thing. But that's not enough. God is daring me personally to say there should be no homeless youth at all in our school district. At least, maybe all of them, which is 750, which is a lot, but let's start with those who are unaccompanied, those who have no family, no support at all, and yet they're still in school. I feel like God is telling me personally, I dare you, Eric, accompany those youth. Well, there's lots of ways you can do that, of course, and it turns out there aren't lots of ways that are happening right now. So in talking with a friend of mine, he was saying as we were talking, it's really, maybe you got to change the law. Maybe you have to add a law to make a change. So Amy Brackenberry had listened to us talking about generosity, and she said, you know, I've been thinking about that. Let me see what I can do. She happens to be a lobbyist, and so she got a meeting set up for both of us this past Thursday to meet with Chris Reichdahl, who's our representative here from our area. You know, and I'm thinking, I'm getting a post-traumatic situation, thinking of the last time I talked to a politician, that did not work out at all. I really don't want to do this again, but God has dared me to do this. So we went, and it was a great conversation, and we talked about, you know, here's some ways to think about it, and what is this a solution to do this thing? And he said, I'm going to look into it. We're going to get my staff together, and maybe there is a thing. Maybe there's something that's already on the books and some slight tweaking, and we can do these things. So for me, Ken is right. You know, when you start giving and when you start living out the dares that God has, and that's what the Holy Spirit is, it prompts you all the time. Why don't you try that? Why don't you help that person? Maybe these people need some help. Maybe you ought to get together with a couple other people and help this person. That's what that's prompting. That's all it is. What is God daring you to do? What is God daring us to do? I found a great quote from James Baldwin. This is what he says. Maybe I'll find it. Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. What I know, what I've seen throughout my time as a pastor in a variety of churches, and before that as just a person in a variety of churches, is that's how it works. God dares us. God dares us to embrace the grace that we've received and gives us the freedom to go, to be generous to our family, to be generous to this church family, and to be generous to the world. What is God daring you to do? Listen and wait, and then wait. Amen.